This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hey guys, here's a message from one of our partners, SpiderVPN. As we all know, browsing the internet can be full of hidden dangers and snoopers, but you can easily protect yourself and at the same time get access to all your favourite websites and streams by using SpiderVPN. They have some amazing offers right now and I come highly recommended. Check them out at spidervpn.org. And get yourself some great offers now. And don't forget to mention Dazzling Dave or Always Wolves to get yourself a real nice discount. That's spidervpn.org. Good evening, everyone. Good evening to everyone in the chat. Good evening to everyone, whether you're listening to this live, watching this live on YouTube on my channel, or whether you're watching it back on playback or you're listening to it on the Always Wolves podcast. You know, it's always good to get together after a game, but God, I'm a bit vexed. It's fair to say that I'm a bit vexed. Wolves have lost after a 2-week break where the players could go off and obviously spend some time with the families, which I think is really important, but it felt like they were still on the beach in the first half. And it's a game where I had high hopes. This channel had high hopes. Everyone that spoke on transfer deadline day that rang in and all the people in the chat, we had high hopes of reaching a cup final. My dad's 85 years of age. It's his lifelong dream to go to an FA Cup final with me and sing Abide With Me. And the second year running, I wouldn't say that Bruno Lage put out a team to lose because he put out a strongest team than he could, I guess. But we've gone out in the fourth round to a Norwich team that really doesn't need an FA Cup run. Their focus is staying up in the Premier League. And the first half especially, we were, you know, both tides weren't very good, to be honest. But, you know, I'm very, very disappointed. And I'm going to be very interested to hear what our pundits have to say in the in their thoughts, and you guys obviously have your say in the chat as well. Please smash a like on the video, please share it on your groups. Let's get as many Wolves fans on. Let's actually really say how we're feeling tonight. And we're going to kick off with friend of the show, young Paul Mansell. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Dave. I'll take being called young. Thanks for that.
You're a tad younger than me, aren't you? So there you go. So you're classed as. And if you do want to comment in the chat, all you need to do is be a subscriber for 1 minute and you'll be able to make a comment and put some of the best comments up on the screen. And I want to thank, of course, as always, SpiderVPN. The link's in the in the description below for supporting the channel. Paul, you went today with your girls.
I did, yeah.
It was cold. It was windy. It was a tad wet. It was not quite what we were thinking it would be.
No, the first word I think that comes to mind is disappointing, isn't it? I mean, when the draw was made, we all said this is a,
well, Tom
this is a good
has
draw.
Come out here, said awful performance.
Yeah, this is a good draw for us. You know, a team that's probably not going to prioritise the cup at home, avoided all the big teams. You know, this should be a great opportunity to move through into the fifth round, into the last 16. But in that first half especially, we just did not show up. There was Norwich had one good chance, I think, Adam Ida, about halfway through the first half.
Ruddy made the save.
And John Ruddy made a really good save. Apart from that, nothing else happened in the half. And we've had a few away performances where we could say that. If you think back to the reverse fixture, for instance, pretty much nothing happened. Crystal Palace away. But we've had obviously some good results recently. But if you think back to Southampton at home, Sheffield United at home, in both those matches, we probably should have been a goal down before we started. Against Brentford, not much happened in the first half an hour, but again, you know, we weren't on the front foot. And I'm seeing a pattern emerge. Since the Man United match where we really, you know, went for them early on, didn't we?
Yeah.
At Man United. In the other games, we just haven't been able to impose ourselves early in the match. And that's Bruno's homework for the next few days. He's got to work out what it is that's stopping us in the first half an hour of matches. We don't even look anywhere near scoring in the first half an hour. And perhaps a bit of credit to the opposition, you know, in those games. They come out, they close us down and they don't give us an inch. But we've got to be creative and think of other ideas to beat the closing down strategy that teams are naturally going to use against us. So his homework is sort out the first half an hour of matches, because even though we've been having some good results, I think we could have been one down in all of our last couple of home games.
Well, you make a really good point there, because the Man United game away, we were hungry. We were all over them. We were on the front foot. We had energy. And bear in mind, this was not long after the COVID break as well. And we thought, are they going to have any energy? They had bundles of energy. And we were right on the front foot. And we took the game to United. They never got back into it. And today, you know, you've got a full house at Molineux, barring a few seats scattered around and Norwich not filling out their allocation. You've got the youth stand, or the Gene Kelly stands, back open as well. You know, we've got Dinny, who's from Ireland. I was also speaking to some guys from Barcelona and Madrid. They were, I was having a chocolate before I met up with my dad, a hot chocolate, and they were sat on the table and I saw them drawing a sign and it said Semedo. And I talked to them. I've got them on the match day vlog. And they were trying to get Semedo's shirt. And they were over from Barcelona and Madrid to come and support Wolves. Could you believe? It's crazy. And, you know, I'm just disappointed for everyone, for the people. There's another couple. I saw a couple of subscribers I saw in where we went to have a curry today. And they come all the way up from Norfolk. I met someone else from Kent. Those are long journeys, probably. Yeah. Some of these people that travel a long, long, long way, obviously they got in for the FA Cup match because, the tickets, not everyone goes, it's not the Premier League, but it's still a fantastic attendance. And they haven't seen the Wolves that we've seen. And the manager of the month, Bruno Lage, watched his thing. He said, it's not a curse. I was trying to say that, but I don't know.
Moutinho wasn't in the game, was he, in the first half? And he's been such an influential player for us in the last few games. And I think that was a reason why we didn't get going in the first half, that he wasn't involved very much. I felt a bit sorry for Fabio Silva, especially in the first half, because he had absolutely nothing to feed off. There was no crosses coming in. There was no balls to put him in the channel, you know, running onto. So after half time, though, I did think whatever he said at half time did make an impact. And I thought it's a matter of time here before we score. We really cranked up the pressure. Pedence's shot hit the post and could have gone back in.
Should have scored, I felt.
Yeah, player of his ability, it's a good chance. And I thought it's just a matter of time, but then it just started to peter out again. So back to the drawing board, and I think some more different ideas are required when our initial plan isn't working.
Paul, I've got to. I saw the team selection today, and obviously Trink, you know, we're missing Neto, we're missing Wang. Adama's gone out on loan, probably never to be seen again in a Wolves shirt, obviously, if they get the money. And then Trinco comes down with COVID, and you got four attacking forwards there out on the game. And he plays what I thought was going to be a 3-5-2 when I saw Dendonka, but Dendonka seemed to be playing in the three up top, and I just, for the life of me, can't get my head around that.
They seem to have this move, this tactic they were trying to do where Cody was trying to feed him in over the top.
Yeah.
Dendonka, they tried that ball about four times in the first half. It was a strange selection and a strange ploy, I think. But I will say, in Dendonka's defence, I thought he had a good game at Brentford and made an impact on the game. But to play him in that kind of almost like a forward role was strange. But looking at the manager's post-match comments tonight, he's almost, to me, said, you know, he's done the best that he can with the players that he's got, which I interpreted as I could do with a few more players, really.
Well, we could do with a few more players. And I think how well we've been doing in January has taken a little bit of the heat off the transfer window
that's a good point.
Because if we'd have had a bad January, it would have been a meltdown. But like, we've had a great January. Okay, got curtailed. And I hope this isn't going to be a horrible-less February. Because I mean, I just was really bamboozled. He says he hasn't got the players. Okay. But why, you know, and when we watched us play Norwich away, we needed that extra player in the middle of the park. And you thought, okay, three in the middle. And you, with what we've got Fabio and Pedence playing up front together. It can work. And he didn't play that, and he never switched it again. When he made a strange substitution, you know, Totti Gomez, who I didn't think did anything wrong, he takes him off and puts Raul on. And I'm thinking, okay, we've gone to a back four. And then the next minute, Dendonka's dropped in the back three from the front three.
It was a strange... We were trying to make sense of it around us.
Why would he do that, Paul? Why? What is the thinking? Explain to me. Why has he taken Totti Gomez off, who's already in the back three, having a decent game, and then putting Raul on, not changing to a flat back four to get more, you know, in, you know, up front or playing for the... And puts Dendonka, who was playing left-sided, right-sided... up front. Why would he do that? I don't. What's the thinking? Explain it to me.
The only thing I can think, and I'm really clutching at straws here, is that he wanted to keep this roughly the same shape for a bit longer. And he's thought, if I put Dendonka into the back and I need to then go to a four at the back, I can just move him into midfield without making another change.
Whereas, but then he takes Dendonka off?
Yeah, so that didn't make sense. The only other thing that I could think, and again, I'm clutching at straws, is Kilman's a left-footed central defender playing on the right. But if you move him over to the left, it changes his passing lanes a little bit, because a left-footer on the left will perhaps more naturally pass in a different way to a left-footer on the right. I'm clutching at straws, but That's all I can think. I didn't really understand. I was very surprised when he made that change.
You didn't understand. I've got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm frustrated. I am frustrated today because I'm thinking we're in a good position in the league. We're not going down. were at home against the Norwich team, okay, that had a good January. But they've got a match on Wednesday, which is far more important to them at home against Crystal Palace. And we just didn't turn up in the first half. You know, it's like they've got the flip-flops on. It's Connor Cody's 300th game as well as captain. And I'm at a loss. I mean, like, I was holding back from having a rant at the end of the game because I'm frustrated. My dad is 85. It's his lifelong dream, as people know, to go to an FA Cup final. You know, your dad, you know, he's a bit younger than my dad. And I'm just like, how many opportunities do we have to spurn? We could have won this game and got into the last 16. We don't know how much further we got, but we just seem to surrender it. And it was a bizarre goal. I mean, as well.
I've watched it back. And to me, when you make that run that far in front of the near post, it's not to score, it's to get a flick on. And I think he's attempted to flick the ball on, but it's just ended up going in. I don't think they've designed a run that far wide to result in a header.
It's kind of looped up and dropped him, but we had nobody on the back post as well. And there's no one there. It's a free goal. We don't concede many goals from open play. And that is... And it was literally, I'd say, the last kick. But it was the last kick was the kickoff. Yeah. And then it was the whistle. And I kind of like, oh, we'd have got to... And then when you give a team a goal advantage, you know, we come out second half so much hungrier and had that goal... I mean, we didn't have the luck. Pedence hits the inside of the post. It bounces straight back into the keeper. It could have gone anywhere. And it's a goal. I think they cleared one off the line. But we never really, really created. There's a period at the start of the second half, their first 15 minutes, we were all over them. And I was thinking the goal surely would come. Yeah. But they weathered the storm, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, what's worrying for me throughout the course of the season, really, our number nine, whoever that is, sometimes it's Silva, but mainly it's Jimenez. He's not having chances to miss because there's not been any chances created for him. If you cast your mind back over the course of the season, how many chances has Jimenez missed? Maybe one or two?
Yeah.
There's just not enough chances being created. So therefore, they're really feeding off scraps. And what worries me a little bit as well is when we go behind in a game, that's like the worst thing that can happen because we struggle to score goals anyway. But teams then sit so deep. When we score first ourselves, we've only lost 2 points from winning all positions. Season,
and that's the key, isn't it, Paul? It's so, so frustrating. Yeah. We're going to be, just to let you know, we've got Manny up next. We've got Josh Scott and we've got Millie representing the ladies making her debut. Paul, to finish off, give us your rating. Give us your Wolves Man of the Match nomination from the pundit side and then we can see what you're going to throw into the hat.
The first half would be like 4, I think, because it was just so tepid. Second half got a bit better, so I'll increase it to 5 based on that.
5 rating.
My eldest said that Dad, I really enjoyed watching Ruben Neves today. I thought his passing was great. And I think she makes a good point. His passing was one of the highlights of the game. Some of those crossfield balls that he was doing. But I'd probably give Man of the Match to Max at the back because I actually think he could have played on his own at the back. He's that good sometimes, you know. He's so strong, so quick, uses the ball well. I don't think anyone was necessarily great today, but I'd pick out him as one of the better ones.
So a 5 rating and pundit's Man of the Match from Paul is Max Kilman. Good shout. Let's see what the rest have. Paul, thanks for coming up. I know you wanted to get off first. Today's brilliant. Let's hope.
Cheers, Dave. Yeah.
There will be a bet. We'll have more joy and less pain at the next game. We've got 2 big games coming up. Arsenal and Tottenham, of course. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Maybe see you on Thursday at the Arsenal match, but if not, I'll be at Tottenham on Sunday as well.
Brilliant. Looking forward to it. We'll have to catch up for that as well, mate. Nice one. Cheers, pal.
Cheers. See you later. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
So that's Paul. And next, delighted to say we've got Manny. How you doing, mate?
Hi, how you doing? Horse.
Mate, I mean...
I gave it everything. I haven't got a voice left.
Yeah, no. Have you been doing a lot of shouting today, Manny?
Well, no, just sing. You know, I don't understand why people don't sing. I don't understand what's happened to the Molyneux crowd, bar one or two moments this season. The crowd has been really quiet, you know, considering, you know, we had no football for so long and we were so desperate to get back. Just seems really flat. It wasn't like an electric atmosphere you'd expect at an FA Cup tie, you know.
Remember that famous one, the quarter final against United? I mean, the atmosphere for that was electric.
That was a quarter final, and you know, big matches like that you do get up for, but we need to get up for these matches as well, you know. And obviously, nothing to do with the absolutely abject performance, you know, the players put in. First half, obviously you feed off that, but we just didn't even start.
I thought the crowd were all right. I thought the first 5 minutes and the pre-match we seemed quite loud, and then it just, like you say, it turned us on. It was cold, it was wet, it was windy. The performance was flat, and I think that sort of fed to the crowd, but obviously the crowd have got a job. Once we came out second half and we were on the front foot, it raised the crowd levels as well.
But I don't think I'm the first person to, like, you know, the only person to mention several times this season that is something, like, you know, not, don't know whether people are split up and sitting in different areas or
yeah, that's a good point.
Don't know, you know, it just seems like even around me it can get really loud, and even around me there was a few characters who were probably missing who usually am joining, but people just you know, watching the game go on by. And I just think, you know, with someone like Ben Foster's comments, you know, this week, where he talked about in his podcast about the Wolves crowd being the most vociferous crowd that he's ever faced, and how he goes, it was so daunting, and he fully expect a younger player, if it was a younger goalkeeper, an inexperienced goalkeeper, would have suffered at the hands of that crowd. And that's because obviously we've got some history with him and we give him a lot of stick. And so it just shows you how much influence a really loud crowd has on, you know, the opposition, if we can get ourselves up for it. But let's get on to the game, because, you know, this was 11 players. And let's be honest, they didn't turn up that first half. They were lethargic. They were slow. They were still on holiday in Dubai and wherever they went, you know. It just seemed disjointed, no urgency. Norwich were poor. Norwich were really, really poor.
You know what, Manny? I think you're right. I mean, I looked at the first half, and as poor as we were, I thought we probably edged it, even though we were really bad. I mean, I know they probably had the better chances, but, like, we controlled the game without... We were very passive, I thought. We didn't seem to have any spark.
Yeah, it was just, you know, like I said, it just didn't... Walking up to the ground and everything... A cup tie, you want to have an electric feel about it, about, you know, the whole thing, and then hopefully the team then goes on the front foot and puts a few challenges in or takes a few shots or whatever, and nothing happened. And because nothing happened, it just, you know, just went really flat. And let's be honest, it should have been 0-0 at half time. The free kick was right where we sit, and it was taken from about 6 or 7 yards from the wrong place. Right. It should have been closer to the corner. If it was closer to the corner, they wouldn't have been able to whip the ball into the far post like that. So, you know, that was quite clear error, but again, defended not very well. I thought defence did okay today, overall, apart from that set piece. Ruddy in goal, you know, we're going to start comparing any goalkeeper to Jose Sarr now, unfortunately, because Jose Sarr has been that brilliant. And one thing about Jose is he comes out and he claims and he's really positive. And any other goalkeeper is not going to look like that, because that's why he stands apart. So obviously you think, well, Could he have, was it in his zone? Could he have come for it? Could it have been more positive? Could he have, you know, but it is what it is. And it's just a goal. And second half, you could see they'd had a kick up the backside, came out with more intent. And that's that point where you've just got to score. When you suddenly find a bit of a wind, you've got to score. And Pedence had the chance and hit the post and really should have buried it, to be fair. And then he had another chance where he sort of pulled out of shooting and tried to move the ball rather than shooting. So
That was not long after, was it? And then he got closed down.
Yeah, I mean, both of them were really good chances. And I always thought this game, I think Paul's just mentioned, it's always one of those games where the first goal is going to matter so much because of the way Norwich play. You know, to open them up, we need to score first. If they score first, then they can literally just try and, you know, backs to the wall, and then we find it hard to break down. And it's not about having X player or Y player. We were just poor. The players, if the players on the pitch have done all they can, done all they can to their maximum potential, then you can say, oh, it's not working, let's bring someone on, you know. And those players didn't. They didn't do it. So,
what did you think about the decision to play Den Donker in a front three?
I think, you know, Chiquinho was on the bench and he's new. But if he's good enough to be on the bench, I would have just played him because that's his natural position.
He looked quite good when he came on, I thought.
He was bright. He was, you know...
Didn't, he looked he strong got, as well.
He was just direct. He was just like, get the ball and let's run and get the cross in. So, you know, that's what you want. That's what a winger is, you know, just direct and simple and effective. And he showed he was one of the, you know, little bits that you brought out of the game and thought, oh, he's not that bad, you know, maybe we've found someone. And, you know, but apart from that, you know, just huffed and puffed after those Pedence chances and just never really looked like getting anything, you know, anything. And a final ball and whatever changes he made just didn't work. And again, you know, Ruddy made one fantastic save in the second half, but he was a bit of a spectator in the second half, and we just didn't get the goal.
He made one good save, actually. We got Jazza here, which is nice of him to join us. Jazza says, Norwich fan, he said, we thought that this is from him. We were lucky
at times,
quality didn't try out. He wanted Norwich to lose so they could focus on the league. Best of luck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, cup games are cup games. It doesn't matter who you play. You saw United, Middlesbrough, you saw Kidderminster, the fight they put up, the fight and Plymouth put up at Chelsea. Cup games are always levelers. They're always going to be really tough. You can't just say, oh, it's Norwich, bottom of the league, we should win. You've got to turn up. You've got to play well. You've got to defend well. You've got to pass the ball. You've got to find your play. You've got to do all the basics right. If you don't do them, they'll still beat you. And a poor Norwich beat us. Remember, this isn't Norwich playing wonderful, amazing football to beat us. They were poor as well, and they beat us, you know, with a goal that didn't look like coming. And, you know, we just, you know, couldn't score. And it's been one of our problems for a number of seasons. We seem to have started this year, in 2022, with a few goals. And so you're always hopeful that we can score. Yeah, and carry on. And we didn't. And it's just a real bad day at the office. And the frustrating thing is it's the cup, and it means a lot to the fans. It means a lot to the city having a cup run, and it's traditionally, you know, the FA Cup, the dream, you know, after the disappointments we've had recently and not being anywhere near it in the past, you know, few decades, just to go out again like that, you know, after last year as well. It's just really disappointing. If you come and do everything, that's not a problem. If you do everything you can, play to your potential, and you just didn't get that rub of the green, you can say, oh, well, it just wasn't our day. But today we sit here and think, oh, God, we just didn't turn up.
And I think that's the frustrating thing. Obviously, we've got to kick on. We've got Arsenal on Thursday. I take it you'll be at that. I don't know if you'll be at the Tottenham game. I'm guessing you're probably there for Tottenham on Sunday as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not actually, believe it or not, I'm not there. We've got a very busy Sunday, so I can't make Sunday. Unfortunately, Sunday 2 o'clock kickoffs are a nightmare for me.
Oh, yes,
you
know. You said, didn't you?
If it was a home game, I might be able to make it. So we'll be there for Arsenal and hopefully the Arsenal away match as well.
That's on the 24th now, hasn't it, the Arsenal away?
You know, you've always got to balance things out. And we haven't lost since December the 11th. We would have won every game this season, and we just had a poor day at the office. Hopefully we can recover and go again and play more. And, you know, people like Neves and Moutinho and people like that, Pedence, they know they can play better than that. Of course they do. So, you know, that's up to them to prove that they can, and up to Bruno to get his team right. One thing I have to say, the player that I want to give a lot of kudos to is, you know, young Toti Gomez, brought in from nowhere in terms of we didn't know even that he was about, and he's come in 3 appearances and just looks so strong, so accomplished, so
was
fast.
You surprised he got taken off and then Donker was dropped into the back three?
Yeah, I think what happened there was I think he Bruno probably thought, shall I go 4, and then he thought, okay, let's bringing Toti off means that you can still go 4 because you can put Dendonka back in midfield if he wanted to, and he probably thought it was a bit more flexible for him to make a change that way. But yeah, it was a little bit, but I don't think the defense had much to do anyway, especially in the second half. They were sort of we did have an extra man and we didn't really look that much under threat even when we went back to 4 early, and was trying to push the game on, but it just whimpered out, didn't it? It just The time ran out and we just huffed and puffed and couldn't do what we were supposed to do, is score goals, especially at home. We should be scoring goals, and if you don't score goals, you don't win games, you know.
Well, let's hope we've got the total get that. I think to recoup, they've got to get top 4 now, so no pressure. Manny, what's your performance rating, and who you're going to give your man of the match to?
Performance rating, it would have been 3 or 4, but maybe raise it to a 5. I don't know, just because of the second half, little bit of a fight back, you know. But you're not going to win games if you're 5 out of 10 or 4 out of 10. You might get a point if you're 6 out of 10, but you're not going to, you know. So 5 out of 10. My man of the match, I am going to actually give it to Toti Gomez, even though he got took off, because he's like, for me, it was like an old fashioned Des Walker.
Oh, he's just right, never
going to get past him. He just wins the ball. If people might say, is he great at passing or distribution? But I always look at defenders and I think, can they defend? If they can defend, we can work on someone, and he can defend, man. He can. He's strong, he's powerful, he doesn't get out-muscled, he puts a tackle in, he don't care, you know, about putting a tackle in. So, yeah.
And just before we get on to Millie, who's going to make her debut, Andrew's asking, do you think Kundal should get a game?
I think that's a real mystery for us, isn't it, as fans? Because yesterday, Bruno Lage in his press conference said that Luke Kundal could replace anybody and he's ready to replace anybody in midfield. That was really, really high praise for somebody who's never started a Premier League game. So whether Bruno was on the magic mushrooms or he's seen something in Kundal that obviously, you know, he's highly talented, highly thought of. But to say
how
he can.
Luke
Kundal? I wouldn't say he was more than 20, 21, 22. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, to say that he could potentially step in for Neves and Moutinho and he's ready for that right here, right now, that's a big statement to make. Yeah. So the manager's obviously, you know, really confident in him. I sort of believe in Bruno Lage because what he's done with all our players in the back line and midfield, he's made them better than last year. They've all improved. They can all defend. They can play better than last year. We proved that. We, you know, started the Premier League well, considering the start we had. So let's go again. Go Thursday. Hopefully, it's obviously going to be slightly more open for us because Arsenal won't just sit back. They'll come and expect to beat us. You know, they're not a bad side. So let's get the players like Pedence, especially, you know, on the ball, because he has got a bit of a trick on him. He is, you know, he's had a couple of good games against Arsenal, and you know, probably Raul would say would be back. And then, you know, Trinco, people can say what they like about Trinco. Some of our best recent performances have been with him starting. When he started at Brighton, he really looked good in that game, the Brentford game, the one against United, you know, he gave a lot of balance to the side. And so I'd probably go Trinco, Pedence, and Raul.
Yeah, I think that's if Trincao's recovered from COVID.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's down to 5 days, isn't it? So
it is 5 days, so it depends.
If he's fit and he's healthy and he's just got COVID and he's got no symptoms, he could be, but if he's...
he might already be 1 or 2 days into it. We don't know, you know, hopefully he's I don't know when he was diagnosed or when he was positive, so...
Didn't see him on the training, though, video, so it might have been a couple of days.
That's not, it might not be too bad, you know. And you know, one thing, even if after international breaks, Wolves have never done well in this mid-season winter break. You know, what a rubbish idea it was, because someone like Burnley hadn't even played for 4 weeks anyway with all the cancellations. You know, some teams didn't need a mid-season break, so they could have, because of COVID, they could have cancelled the midweek.
We were going so well as well at the time, but I know that it was good for the players to spend time with their families and stuff like that, but it kind of stopped a bit of a momentum and it just didn't happen today. But absolutely, Luke Cundall says Katie is apparently 19 years of age. So
there you go. I mean, that's high praise for a 19-year-old. But, you know, that's one thing we have to look at. We can look at the negatives about we didn't bring in enough cover for midfield. We didn't, you know, we've let Adama go. Okay, he wanted to go and it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to go, and you can't stop in the way of somebody who doesn't want to be here, and he made that clear. So, but on the positive side, you know, the Luke Cundalls, the Toti Gomez's, bringing in Jose Sa, improving Max Kilman, Sice and Cody looking unbelievably in defence. Both full-backs seem so strong defensively.
Who would you play against Arsenal? Toti Gomez or Sice?
You know what, at the moment, I can't drop Toti Gomez. I just like him. I just think he's so strong and fast. And he's got the shirt. And that should be the way it is. Just because somebody's done well, shouldn't they haven't got a divine right to get their shirt back? Even Raul, if Silva performs and score goals, even Raul, you know, even Raul can't expect to just come back. And so every position should always be like that. You shouldn't be an automatic, oh, Sice is back, so we've got to put him back, because that's the kind of thing that frustrates fans. We want to play players who are in form, who are playing here and now, and you know. And I just think we should stick with him because he's doing so well at the moment. He hasn't really done anything wrong. It's up down to Bruno. If Bruno does bring Sice in, I don't think it's an issue, because Sice has also done nothing wrong and they have defended very well, the three of them. So it's a good problem. They're the good problems we want to have.
And we want those sort of problems in defence, then, because it was a problem. It was an issue before. Now we've got Yersin coming back as well soon. Yeah.
You've got Yersin coming back. You've got, you know, Johnny's back training. You've got Marcel. You've got lots of options in. And that's frustrating that we haven't really got those options in midfield or, you know, in attack. We're just not hitting it off. You know, we beat Brentford with Neves and Moutinho goals and players from other areas. Sice scored at Brighton. So Moutinho scored at United. Those people from other areas are stepping up, and now it's time for the front three to step up and take ownership and take some of the workload off the others and hit the goals, because the midfield won't always score and the defenders won't always score, and that's where you need your number nines and your tens and elevens, whoever played in those positions, to come up with the goods let's see.
Well, loads of people here are saying they've been very impressed with Toti Gomez. And Neil White says, can you believe Lambert signed Sice?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you can say whatever you like about Sice and Cody, and they are from the days of, you know, almost pre-Fosun. But they've improved and they've done so well. So if you want to buy a better defender than Cody or a better defender this season than Sice, you're going to pay extreme amount of money. Last year, people were ready to cast them both off. You know,
Kilman, I think if Nuno had been here, probably would have gone.
Kilman might have left. You know,
yeah, and because he's going to be worth.
You know, so I always look at both sides and think, yes, we should have got more in. Yes, why is Giles gone if we're short? Why is But then I look at, but hang on, they made the decision to change to Bruno. He's improved our players. Jose Sa, we've got one of the best goalkeepers we've seen down there. He's, Silva looks stronger and big. So they are. They're also Cody Gomez has come out of the blue. So you've got to give credit as well. Oh, well done. Credit for all bringing these people in. You can't just say, oh, you're rubbish. You know, you're not buying. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. Whether that's satisfactory for fans, that's time will tell. That's our owners. If they want to take it slow and steady, that's what they want to do. We've just got to see the proof in the pudding, and they'll fall and die by the decisions they make. And if
I
it
think
doesn't
you are,
work.
and I think the next two games are going to be are going to define our season against Arsenal and Tottenham. If we get 4 points out of those, then Europe's definitely on.
Yeah, I think go below the top three, then there's a little bit of a much of a muchness. You know, we beat West Ham, remember? We beat Man United, remember? You know, and so we should have beaten Spurs, let's be honest. You know,
Well, we
so
battered them.
all those sides, and we beat all those. We battered all three sides very comfortably. So we're there. We're right there with. Even with the limitations of our squad and you know, Neto, God bless him, you know, if we can't really expect too much of him probably this season because he's still a month away. But Johnny coming back is a big thing, and Hwang's a couple of weeks away or what. So that, you know, within a couple of weeks, hopefully we've got a few more options, and we're still hanging in around that top
Well,
seven
that's it.
or
By the time when
eight.
we get to sort of the middle of March and we've got games coming thick and fast, if we've got more options, it's just a shame we didn't have it today. Sadly, we're out the cup, mate. And obviously, Manny's gone five, and he's another defender, Toti Gomez, has been nominated. Thank you very, very much
No
for your
problem.
contribution. And I know you've got a lot of stuff to get on with now. So I appreciate you
Yeah.
getting on, mate.
No
Appreciate it.
problem, mate. Cheers. Thank you.
Catch you later, buddy.
See
And we
you. See
need
you,
to get
mate.
that tennis game in soon.
Yeah, we will. Definitely. See you, mate.
All right, catch you a bit. Bye. So that's Manny. Always makes some fantastic points, of course. Do you agree with his points? Well, we're going to see. We've got a debut now from Millie. Hello, Millie.
Hi, Dave. You all right?
Absolutely fantastic. You were at the game today, and
Yeah,
it's
very
brilliant to have a.
disappointed.
I know it's brilliant to be able to get a female fan's perspective because there are a lot of girls that really love their football that go to the game, and we need to get more women on the show. So thank you for making your debut tonight. I know you're a little bit nervous.
Just a bit.
Yeah, fantastic. So where
Thanks for
did
having
you?
me on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And where did you sit today?
Oh, it's top of the South Bank.
Top of the South Bank. And who did you go with?
I went with my dad.
You went with your dad, did you? Fantastic. And so you went with a lot of expectation, I guess, today.
Yeah, very positive about the game when I went in.
And you came out a little bit different, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was expecting to win. It was almost a guaranteed win, Dave.
So I must admit, I was expecting us to. I think that's why I'm so disappointed and frustrated because you just think this is a great opportunity today to progress into the last six in a
Yeah.
home tie against a team that's more focused on staying up. And that's, I think, what the frustration is.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you play a bit of football yourself?
I do, yeah.
Oh, right. So do you play for a ladies' team?
Yeah, I'm at development squad for Redditch.
Oh, fantastic. And what position do you play?
Defence.
Oh, so you defence. And so have you got a favourite player in the Wolves team?
It's got to be Cody.
So you love Cody, and of course, making his
Yeah.
300th appearance today. It was such a shame that the
I know.
performance didn't match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what have you made of the season so far?
I think we've had some good games. My favourite so far, I know it's the FA Cup, but it's got to be that Sheffield game. Frumps on top, presents us having a field day. Shame we've knocked out to Norwich.
I know, and you were expecting a bit more today, weren't you?
Yeah, very disappointing. I
So
think.
what do you think went wrong today?
First of all, Dendonka for me. Where was he playing there for?
Well, I've got to be honest, Millie. I was a bit baffled because when I saw the team sheet, I thought we were going to go a 3-5-2 with a three-man
Yeah.
midfield, and then as I'm watching the game, it's like Dendonka's playing in a front three. And he ain't a front three. He's a midfielder that can play defence. And he's a midfielder that can come up for set pieces and make runs. And he can, he's got heading ability. And he's tidy. You know, he's in the Belgium squad. But he ain't a forward. So
no, I noticed in the second half it sort of changed to what I thought. I sort of trusted the process and hoped there was a goal coming.
Yeah. And, I mean, who impressed you today what players stood out for you?
No one really, but in the first half, I think Neves was doing really well, passing it about a bit.
Yeah, he made some good long passes, didn't he? He really did. Yeah. And what have you made of Fabio Silva's contribution?
Very little.
Do you think he just didn't have a lot to feed off, though?
No, I just don't think he had a good game today.
He didn't have a good game today at all?
Not at all, no.
Okay, and in terms of, like, would you have changed anything at half-time?
Yeah, I would have changed the formation to the opposite, where Dendonka was, and put him back in midfield.
A 3-5-2?
Yeah.
Because of the limited options with the wingers?
Yeah. Do you know where Chan was today?
Where who was?
Chan.
Chan?
Yeah.
Well, he's injured, isn't he?
Oh, is he? I wonder where he was today.
I thought you were going to tell me he was shopping in the Bullring or something. I thought you knew where he was and everything. So, fantastic. So, Millie, I mean, what are you going to give it as a performance rating?
I'm going to be a bit generous here because the new lad came on in the second half. He put some good crosses in. So
yes.
I'm going to take a positive from that. I'm going to give it a 5.5.
That, when, let's just take a step back here, Millie. When you're giving a performance rating a 5.5 and we're calling it positive, that is like not great. Is it a 5.5? And
I'm taking the new player away from a positive. That's the only positive I'm taking of the game now. It's very disappointing today.
Absolutely. Well, the positives from the game, Cody, 300th appearance. Like you say, the chap that came on did really, really well. Who are you going to nominate as a pundit for your man of the match from the Wolves point of view?
I know he came off, but I want to give it to Totti Gomez.
So you're agreeing with Manny, with Totti Gomez?
Yeah.
Were you surprised to see him substituted?
I was, yeah, because he was doing really well.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. I was more so surprised the fact that he substituted and then put Dendonka in the back three. Later on took Dendonka off. So we've got two votes for Totti Gomez. And have you got any final thoughts?
Not really, no. I've heard a lot of people coming up from different areas. Obviously, it's disappointing for them. It's everyone's dream to get an FA Cup final, like you said, because of your dad as well. It's
and how old are you, Millie?
Disappointment all round.
And how old are you, Millie?
17.
So you're 17. So hopefully you've got years and years and years to get to an FA Cup final. You've got plenty of time, haven't you? So hopefully we'll see that. But I want to see it in my dad's lifetime. And he's 85, you know, my dad. He's still able to go to the home games and, you know, and stuff like that. But he's... you know, it means a lot to him. He wants to get to an FA Cup final and sing goodbye with me. I know if we ever got to that FA Cup final, and I hope and pray it does happen, I will be in tears when we sing goodbye with me because I'll be so proud to be there with Dad. And that's why I'm really upset, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, like all fans, you know, I'm upset and I'm disappointed and I'm frustrated and I'm a little bit niggled with the result today. But, you know, for my dad, I think just because I know how much it means to him as well for us to do that, it's just like he's 85 and he's still healthy at the moment. And just how many more chances can we get? And we got so close a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and last year we threw it away. And this year, you can't say he didn't play the strongest possible team, although I do think that the decision to play Dendonka on the right was strange. But
the players were definitely capable and good enough of it to get through, I reckon.
Well, there you go. Sutton lads wants to say well done, Millie. Very well spoken. And have you enjoyed your debut?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, you come on again, will you?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you for contributing. And if you've enjoyed Millie's contribution, smash a like on the video, please. And, you know, make sure you put some encouraging comments for the young lady here in the comments as well. That's absolutely brilliant. Thanks ever so much, Millie.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everyone.
Cheers. Speak soon, mate. Fantastic. So, because Scott, I know, doesn't mind, we're going to use him as the bookend again. And because we've got Josh waiting and he's wearing his nice Castori shirt. Hi, Josh.
You all right, Dave?
Mate, I've missed having you on. Where have you been?
It's gone from after game, staying out in the pub and then going back in the pub back by home after that. And then I've just been getting back at God knows what time after games. And
you mean you've been out partying?
Yeah.
Well, we've missed having you on because I do like getting you on. So it's good to, because you do make some good contributions, but you do need to make sure that one out of three games, you're getting back a bit early for extra time, mate.
Yeah.
But, you know, up for the Spurs game, it'll be on the Monday night.
Yeah.
So you'll be all right for that. So that's good. A lot of people here are saying well done to Millie, and, you know, which is great. She's still watching, which is fantastic. It's brilliant to have a young girl on. Because it is important to get female fans' perspectives, isn't it, Josh?
Definitely when it's a male majority sport.
Absolutely. She plays in defence as well for in the development squad for Reddish. Where were you sitting today?
Normal seat in the South Bank.
All right, fantastic. And what were your thoughts ahead of the game?
I think it's something that we're all guilty of. When my dad said the same today, because he went and when they did the draw the other week, you think, oh, Norwich, bottom three at the time when the draw happened. They're not going to want to be in the cup much longer because they want to focus on the league. It's a dead cert, which I think we're all guilty of thinking of in games like that. And I think possibly the players were as well. They thought that it was just going to be a walkover, and it really wasn't, and they didn't turn up.
Oh, well... I couldn't believe that first half, man. I mean, to be honest, I don't think Norwich were very good either. I think it was the poor, but I thought we kind of like overall probably just edged it, even though we were bad. Mm. And then they had that goal at just before
half time.
I think that was a killer goal, wasn't it? It proved to be the decisive goal.
It was just gutting because you always want a cup run, and just go as far as you can.
Well, yeah, as far as we can, we won one game. I mean, we went out on penalties in the League Cup as well. It was just frustrating. Did you go with your dad today?
So me and my brother, and then my mum and my dad were in the lower Steve Ball.
Yeah. Well, Gary Finley says, I think that now Adam Traore's got its make or break for Trinco. He needs to step up.
I think he has. I think I think he comes under the bracket the same with Silva. I think because he's got that price tag of 25 million on him if we buy him. I think there's a lot of expectation under it all. And
what do you make? I mean, I know he didn't play today because he's annoyingly managed to get COVID when we need him.
I think he's been hit and miss. When he can get hold of the ball, I think he's done all right. He just needs to be a bit more consistent, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think
he's got skill.
Yeah.
You can make something happen, you know. But I'm really so frustrated. What did you make of the? I mean, I've talked about this of the formation today, and who was playing in that formation.
I wasn't surprised to see the midfield three.
Well, it wasn't a midfield three, was it?
But then Donker was making that run like a year, but it was more times than not. He ended up on that right hand side, and he did the same at Brentford, where he was pushed out to that right-hand side constantly. I just didn't get the change. The first sub did not get it at all. Why? Who did he bring on for Touti? Was it Raul? Wasn't it?
Yeah. Raul on for Tuti Gomez, which I thought was a bizarre thing.
Yeah, me and my brother both said...
I thought we were going to a back four.
Yeah.
Well, then Donker dropped in there.
Yeah, we thought you'd take Den Donker off. And then move, if you go to stick with the five at the back, two in the middle, and the three up top. But then when he took Touti off, we said, oh, back four.
That's exactly what I thought.
And you saw Ndonka run back, and you're thinking, well, why didn't you just take Ndonka off?
And kill the swap sides.
Yeah. It's a weird one.
I thought that, but and then he took Dendoncker off, and we did go to a back four. So I don't know why I didn't do that straight away.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because the other thing is as well, if you're playing the front three, I mean, we had Hoover on, didn't we? The bench. I think we had Marcel on. To me, ain't Norrie could have played in a front three. He's more likely
going forward, his
skills to play a front three role because he has got that. I'd have preferred to have seen him there and Hoover behind if or Marcel. I don't know where Marcel is. He injured?
I can't remember if he was on the bench or not.
I know
he's had that hit and miss calf injury the last few months again, which is what he had last year.
Yeah, I'm going to try and have a look, see who's on the bench today. Hold on, mate. What's the thing? Just whilst I'm looking at that, just tell me about what you think, who impressed you today. Marcel was on the bench.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could have brought Marcel on.
Yeah, and pushed out
Norrie. Him on the left and pushed out Norrie up in the front three. We're going to do that because I think that would have been a more natural type of thing. Hoover was on there as well.
Yeah.
And we had Chem Campbell on the bench. He didn't come on. Kundal was on there.
Yeah, Campbell was literally ready to come on at the end, wasn't he? And then he was the whistle blew, and that was it.
Well, left it a bit late, didn't he? As always, left it a bit late.
Yeah.
So what have you felt about the season as a whole then?
I think it's been a good season, considering at the start of the season where Nuno had gone, Rui was going, there was talks of other players going. You were in that limbo period in July and August. You're thinking, what's going on? Bruno comes in, who's only really managed Benfica, who are one of the best teams in Portugal. We've had group of players that can perform there every year. And you just think, was it going to go well? And like, you got all the pundits saying, oh, we're in a relegation scrap. But we've proved them all wrong. We really have.
No worries of relegation. I mean, one more win, I think we're safe anyway.
Yeah. I think 32 will do it.
Who do you think is going to go down then?
I was on about this yesterday with my brother, and I said, "But I think Burnley are gone. I think they're
You really gone. Think Burnley are gone? Do they have got like three games
four games in hand, yeah. And I think one of them is...
I know people say it's better to have the points, but if they get something out of that... They got a good result the other day, a draw against Arsenal, didn't they?
Yeah, and did they play Watford today?
Don't know. Did they play Watford
today? Yeah, they did. 3-0.
So that was a 0-0 draw, was it? So they got two draws. So what does that do to the table?
I think they're still bottom, I think.
Let's have a quick look.
Yeah, Burnley is still bottom on 13. Newcastle 15, Watford 15.
Yeah, Norwich, 15. But Burnley have got three games in hand on Norwich, two games in hand on Newcastle and Watford. It really wasn't the best result for Watford, was it?
No.
You know, probably for that, someone like Newcastle and Norwich, it probably suits them quite well. A draw, 0-0 draw.
I think Everton could get dragged into it, depending on how well Frank does.
Yeah, I know you're going about Everton, but they've just had Dele Alli and Van der Beek that's gone there. They've got the new manager bounced. Did they beat Brentford in the cup?
I think they did. I think they did.
just having a look.
I think Burnley, that last two places are going to be between Norwich, Watford and Newcastle, I think.
So who are you calling it then?
I'm going to say the bottom three as it is now.
You think Newcastle
and Watford to swap?
Interesting. It'd be crazy if Newcastle go with all the money they've spent, but it can happen. It's because they've spent a load of money. Doesn't necessarily guarantee, does it? So anyway, mate, let's go back to our game. Yep. I want to hear your performance rating and your pundit man of the match.
I'm going to have to go for a 5 because there was just something missing today from everybody. There just didn't seem to be that fight. But the 5 for the rating. The man of the match has got to be for Semedo. I think that work he does down that right-hand side when he gets from the Neves 8 ball, I think the last few games and today again, he's shown again that he's really stepped up this year.
So we've got Toti Gomez, Max Kilman and Semedo as the nominations. We've got just Scott coming up, who's literally warming up with his wallpaper in the background in the green room at the moment, smiling away. And final thoughts, looking ahead to Tottenham and Arsenal coming up?
Tough run of games again now. I think Arsenal, we've got to go there and at least get a... Spurs first, isn't it? No, is it Arsenal
first? It's Arsenal first on Thursday. Yeah. Home game.
We've got a good touch wood. We usually have a good record against them in the last few years.
And we've got them twice in the matter of 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we can get something from Arsenal. Spurs, I think, may be a bit tricky. But yet again, they could be there for the taking, depending on which Spurs turn up.
And depending on which Wolves turn up as well. Yeah. We do like a challenge. Yeah. We do like rising our game. I'm hoping we're going to get 4 points out of these next two games. I think if we lose both, I think that's going to be a big blow. So we've got to bounce back. We've got to get on the front foot. We can't let Arsenal control the game or Tottenham. Win the Arsenal game, we can go to Tottenham and have a real pop.
Yeah, because we can go above both of them from that. And then we got West Ham after that, or Leicester.
So absolute key games coming up. If we can come through, if we come through those and we're still in touching distance of, a European spot, and, win both games, and you have to realistically start thinking Wolves can make top four.
Yeah.
I mean, what we could.
Yeah.
I know it's the hope that kills you, because that's like Wolves, isn't it? You build the hope for the FA Cup Wolves, and then a pick comes along and bumps it. But I think Michael Lawrence has hit the nail on the head. We're two or three quality signings away from having a team to challenge top six. I'd say top four.
Yeah.
Had a break, lost momentum, heads down, we go again to get Mats Sarknes. I think we are two or three signings away from having a really, 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 really strong squad. Saying that we keep the players that we've got at the moment. And I think we all know that, though, don't we?
I think an attacking centre midfield is an absolute necessity in the summer.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a lot of speculation in the summer about Ruben Neves.
Yeah.
And for me, he's someone that can't go for anything less than 60 million.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Me and my brother have been on about this. You look at this. Declan Rice has been quoted at 100 million today.
Because he's British and English.
Yeah.
Neves, to me, is every bit as good.
Yeah.
But it's because he's Portuguese. But, I mean, you've got to be looking at least 60 million.
North of 60.
Yeah, I hope he signs a new contract, but we'll see. But we need to get European football to. Yeah. Otherwise, I think he could be off.
Yeah.
Anyway, Josh, thank you. Please don't leave it so long before coming back on the show again. You've got a contract. You've got to do so many shows, and you'll have 100% increase on your wages. 100% increase on nothing in it.
Where do I sign?
just as long as you're not stolen off, you will get you. Hopefully, you can come on after the Monday night after the Tottenham game, because it'll be a late one getting back. So it'll definitely be on Monday night. Extra time will be for that.
Brilliant.
And we will be looking back at both the Arsenal and the Tottenham game for that one, because there's a short turnaround between Arsenal and, of course, Tottenham. So very unlikely we'll do an extra time show because I've got to get the match vlog out, and then I've got to do the preview in between the two. So we'll be looking back at both those games. So it'd be good to get your feedback on that.
Yep, I'll be on.
Adrian Richards has said about Neves north of 80 million, and there's an argument for that as well. All right. Cheers, Josh.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers, man. Thanks. Bye. That's Josh. Brilliant to hear his views. And our traditional bookend is back. He don't mind coming on last, Scott. He quite likes it, I think. The final word.
I don't mind it. I like listening to everybody else's opinions. So.
Yeah, you can sort of prepare what you're going to say, can't you? And everything. And how are you?
I was good until I watched that game.
Absolutely. Josh, great takes. He said, F1 says, hi, Scott. Beam Scotty up. Adrian Richards says, I bet you've had that said a few times.
Yeah, loads of times. But I get it a lot worse if people knew my middle name.
What's your middle name?
That I'm not going to say on YouTube.
Mate, just between me and you.
Okay, once the camera starts rolling, yeah, sure, I'll tell you.
All right, that's fair enough. You heard it here first, but I'll have to not say. There you go.
If anybody could get it in the comments, It's actually a famous singer who's no longer with us. So
famous singer.
That's all I'm giving.
Is that Elvis?
Oh God, no, no, it ain't that extravaganza.
The producer guest for Elvis. So guys, we do need to be trying to guess Scott's middle name, and the first clue is a famous singer that is no longer with us.
And it's his full name as well, his first name and his surname.
Are you serious?
Because technically, I'm named after my granddad and my dad, but together they form this singer's name. So, yeah.
That's quite interesting. What's the big O's name? Roy Orbison. You're not Roy Orbison, are you?
No, my mum was a big fan of his, but no, I'm not named.
We've got Michael Jackson.
No.
John Lennon.
No.
Keep it coming, guys. So, Scott, where were you sitting today, or did you manage to go today?
I was going to go today, but the missus had to work, so I gave away my ticket and stayed at home and literally found a link, which was the weirdest link in the world. No commentary.
Yeah.
All you could hear was, like, rustling. You couldn't even hear the sound of the pitch or anything, or the fans. Couldn't hear nothing.
Was it like a tumbleweed that was blowing around?
Well, the way we were playing as well, yeah, definitely. It wasn't the greatest game of football under Bruno. At the same time, especially when we was doing the transfer thing, and we were saying, like, you know, you said, how far do you reckon we'd go in the cup? I said we'd go all the way and win it. But the team that turned up today had no intention of winning anything.
Well, it was disappointing. Just before we get on to them, Merv Bennett's gone David Bowie.
Oh.
Sarah Winston's gone Keith Richards.
Oh.
Freddie Mercury from Chaotic.
No.
George Michael, Arsenal for Life.
Yes.
George Michael, Arsenal. It's a bloody Arsenal fan, eh? That's gone and won it as well. What does he win as a prize?
Round of applause. There you go.
Well done. A round of applause, Arsenal for Life. I would have liked it to have been this one, Pat Benatar, but never mind. Fantastic. So, yeah, you got a weird stream. So what was your take on the match from not being in the stadium, watching a stream that's got tumbleweed music over the top?
I wouldn't have minded if we played well, but the first half especially was just dismal to watch. It was boring. Norwich looked like they were in a higher position in the league than we did, the way they were playing. It was just frustrating. I thought in the second half he'll do some changes, give them the kick up the rear that they need. And second half we did attack more, we did have more chances, but again it just felt like there was no way we were going to score at all. And to be honest, like, I think somebody mentioned it in the comments, Saar brings so much to the team from an attacking sense, and I think we missed that today. Though Ruddy did pull off some good saves.
He made a really good save in the second half at 1-0. Oh, yeah. I thought when he saved that, I thought maybe that's the catalyst. We'll get the goal now.
That was the thing. I thought maybe, you know, he'll turn in our favour with us getting more chances in the second half and him pulling off a save like that. I thought maybe. But just, I don't know. Like, for me at the minute,
it's the hope that kills you, Scott. It's the hope that kills you.
Yeah, it's one of them. Like, with Bruno and with the way he plays and the fact that he's come out and said that he really does want to take the cup and go for it, I don't know. I just, like you said, like, I think some of them were still on the beach. Do you know what I mean?
It was so disappointing that first half. I was like, I don't know, Manny said what's happened to the Molineux crowd, but I thought, for the first 5 minutes, I thought we were, you know, the pre-match, it was quite... But then when it's so flat from the players, it's sometimes, and it's cold and windy and wet, you know, as soon as we started creating something in the second half, the crowd were right there. And the crowd did try to get... But it just was a flat all over. And that goal right at the end of the first half was a real sucker punch when it happened. And I think had we gone in a 0-0, we would have probably have gone on to win the game. But when they were 1-0, and then that chance from Daniel Pedent when he hits the inside of the post and comes back to the keeper, you know, either side of the keeper is a Wolves player running in for a tap-in. But, you know, I just felt that we weren't going to score. I just felt it, and it was the case.
It's one of them when you see chances like the Podence one where on another day it might have bounced off the back of the keeper and gone in. It just weren't our day. Like, there was a good ball, I can't remember who put it in now, and Silva met it with his head and it went flying over the crossbar. And if it was a bit lower, I don't think the keeper would have got to it.
No.
And it just summed it up. That was the way it was. And then there was one instance near the end where Jimenez got the ball and he hit it and it was nowhere near the goal. And I'm thinking, well, if Jimenez can't even get it on target, we've got no chance of scoring.
Yeah, that was where he literally pulled it, didn't he?
The one thing, while I've been watching the show as well, like when you've asked people for their man of the match, like I honestly have been thinking, who would I give it to? Like,
you are a pundit, so you are going to have to come up with one.
The only one that stood out for me was Semedo. He literally was the only one. Like, he fought for every ball. He was trying to create stuff. Like that tackle that he made when their player was one-on-one with Ruddy was just brilliant. Like, it was a great tackle, because otherwise that player had all the time in the world.
It gets it wrong. It's a penalty, isn't it? Guys, we do need to be voting. We've got Totti Gomez 2 votes. We've got Max Kilman 1 vote. We've got Nelson Semedo 2 votes. I went with Aitnori because I thought he had a good game as well. So if you can start putting the votes down, who you're voting for as the people's man of the match, you may struggle. And then the producer, it might be close today, and so the producer will tot it up and we'll do a total.
It's always harder to pick one when you've got a game go the way that one did. Because literally nobody was at the races today. There were spells from certain individuals, like Neves spreading the ball, you know, glimpses from Silva even. But it just wasn't great to watch. The first half killed me off, especially when they scored. When they scored, it was like you're deflating already because the performance. But when they score, you're like, oh, no. That's why you're hoping for a better second half. And as much as we did attack more and probably had more of the possession than they did, it's still just with shots like the Podence one, you just know it ain't going your way that day. And when he said 4 minutes injury time, I'm begging for something to happen. Like when Ruddy went up, I thought maybe. And then Jimenez hits it and it's nowhere near the goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was front. I mean, did you have a surprise that you saw Dendonka playing in a front three?
Yeah, that did puzzle me. I thought maybe it's, I don't know, something they've tried in training. Like, but I don't know. Like, Dendonka gets a lot of stick.
He does get a lot of stick, which is a bit unfair sometimes. Well, he's got a bit of a languid style.
You can't really give him stick for today if he's been played in a position where we've never seen him play before. Like, I just don't get the logic why he was there. Like, it surprised me that Jimenez was on the bench to begin with. Because I thought if you're going to really...
That Jimenez was on the bench. I thought he would be. But I didn't think he'd start. And when he came on, he did put himself about.
But again, it comes back to that thing where, you know, when he comes on, you're thinking he'll do something here. And again, it just weren't going our way. The rubber of the green just weren't going our way. Norwich, I've got to give credit to Norwich. Norwich defended really well that second half.
They did. Really Don't well. Forget to get everyone to get your votes in. It's Totti Gomez, Semedo. We do have Jack coming. You're not going to be the bookend. Jack's back in a minute, so we're going to have another one. We've got Jack just coming in the thing, so we might have another nomination, but the producer's going to be touting up all the votes because we've got Totti Gomez, Kilman, and Aitnori, and, of course, Semedo as well. I thought, yes, mate, it was really, really frustrating. I mean, you know, I mean, I was surprised Totti Gomez came off. But we have to do... Connor Cody's 300th game now, that's something to say to be positive about.
he's come a long way, Cody has. A long way, especially when he first joined, he wasn't even a defender, he was a midfielder. And then he's gone from being a midfielder to being like the heart of the defence, the captain of the club, and a great role model for anybody out there. And he's gone on to perform for England as well. The guy's just getting better as he goes on. And he's Wolves through and through. Like Ruben Neves for me is Wolves through and through.
Well, them Neves' 200th game is going to be coming up soon. I think he's done about 198 games now for Wolves. Jack will probably know.
I honestly don't see Neves and Cody going anywhere. Like, even if we don't get European football, I don't think they'll go anywhere. I think they'll stick with Wolves.
I don't think Cody will. But I think there's going to be a lot of clubs that have got money this summer that are going to be really putting the pressure on Wolves to sell Ruben Neves.
I think what will help us and ease some of the pressure on some of the players that we've got going is getting European football. And I'm hoping that this losing this cup game is a blessing in disguise so we can focus on the
only way I'm going to forgive them for losing this cup game is if we get top four. Then it's all forgiven. I want Champions League now. I'm not being serious. It's like my dad was upset. He's 85. We're knocked out. We should have got through. So if we're going to learn, we've got to get Champions League football. Am I asking too much? I mean, come on.
You would have betted on us getting through as well, especially with Norwich at home was a good draw for us, a really good draw, especially with Norwich struggling the way they are in the league. So you would think, like, you know, we'd really be up for this, we'd really go for this, but it just didn't happen.
It didn't happen. I mean, I know I'm probably being deluded, but I think it would be nice. I mean, I think I definitely want to get top six. You know,
I know the supercomputer
says we're going to be eighth.
See, I still think we'll get seventh again. I reckon we'll get seventh again. And I reckon we'll go into the Europa League.
Do we get to the Europa League for coming seventh, or do we get into the Clown League?
I think it's through the Conference League. Yeah, but again, I'm still confident we'll get through that.
Okay.
But again, it all comes down to the summer. We need to invest in some good signings.
We do. I know I've got a feeling we'll go big in the summer, but we'll see. Scott, final thoughts at looking ahead to Tottenham and Arsenal. What are you thinking ahead?
Again, like I've said in previous videos, I'm more confident that they won't score past us than I am us scoring past them. However, it's Arsenal. I fancy us against Arsenal any day of the week. And with Tottenham, that's probably the one I'm more thinking that we'll probably get a draw out of. Because Tottenham under Conte, and Conte's an amazing manager, anything can happen. But Arsenal, I'll take 3 points from Arsenal any day.
Yeah, well, let's hope we can take 3 points off Tottenham as well, because that would be nice, super nice. Right, Scott, we're going to move on to Jack. Thank you for not being the bookend today. Jack's nominated himself as the bookend to come on last today. He's been drowning his sorrows in the pub. I reckon this is going to be really, really interesting to see what Jack's got to say. Cheers, mate.
No worries. All the best, guys. Always Wolves.
Always Wolves, mate. So that is Scott, fresh from the pub, I'm sure, is Jack. Jack messaged me. He says, I'm drowning my sorrows. I might get on last. Mate, you were like 5 minutes from missing the cut and then you pop up. You know, you're like
a time.
Late saviour, a late goal. We could have done with one of them today.
Absolutely, yeah. Super sub right at the end there to nick it, but wasn't to be, was it?
Which pub have you been drowning your sorrows in?
The Royal George in Willenhall. Fantastic place if anyone ever wants to go there. Fantastic. I thoroughly recommend it.
Well, Josh Woodbury said, if the top five win both cups, I think he means, six, FA Cup gets Europa League seventh, League Cup gets Europa Conference, seventh gets Europa Conference. Do you want Europa Conference or Europa League?
Either. Let's be honest, we ain't in any position to be fussy, are we? I think from where we've come from.
I don't want either of them. I want Champions League.
You look at the teams in the Europa Conference, right? If we were in there, we'd be one of the strongest teams there. So,
to be honest, I just want us to win something, mate.
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? You know, people are getting a little bit giddy, aren't they? Talking about Champions League and this, that.
Is that for me? Getting a bit giddy. Woohoo! I probably am. I'm not being giddy. I'm just joking. I don't think, realistically, that ain't going to happen. But you know, win against Arsenal and Tottenham, and they're going to start talking about us. But
listen, you've got a dream, haven't you? That's the point. You've got it. That's what football's all about.
I was dreaming about an FA Cup.
I mean, I was watching Kidderminster v West Ham before the game. Oh. And with a minute and a half to go, Kidderminster are about to knock West Ham out of the Premier League. Now, if you'd have asked any Kidderminster fan before the game, they wouldn't have given themselves even a prayer of a chance. And they came really close. And that's what football is. It's dreaming, isn't it? So, absolutely, we've got to dream about finishing the top four. But, you know, we can't turn our nose up at any kind of European competition, given that we were, you know, bottom half of the Championship 5 years ago.
So, no, well, to be honest, like you say, if we do get into the Europa Conference League, we potentially would be one of the... I mean, I really do want us to win something. It's like, I'll take the League Cup next year. I'll take the Europa Conference League. I really do want the FA Cup. I wouldn't mind winning all three, to be honest. But I mean, I'll take one. It'd be nice to win something. I think that's why I'm so disappointed today, because, I mean, I think you feel the same. How flat were you at the end?
It's unbelievably fat. We were in the pub, obviously, as you know, just, and the Brighton Tottenham game came on, and I said, I don't care about this one. I don't care about the draw tomorrow. I don't care about that. Done for me. The FA Cup's finished this year now. I'm not interested. I'll watch the final and whatever as a neutral, but I'm not invested in it anymore. As soon as we go out of the competition, that's it done, really. And today was a golden opportunity. If you could have handpicked a team for us to play today, it would have been Norwich at home, wouldn't it? You know, they're struggling in the league. They were going to rest players, and they did, you know. And the crowd turned up today, didn't we? 30,700 of us there. And the performance was so, so poor.
What do you put it down to, though, Jack? Why was it? Why did we play so blooming poorly, so passively? Because we were passive, and Norwich weren't any better in the first half, and the goal was just basically a balmy, stupid goal, flicked in, headed, looped over into the keeper. End of the first half. It was like, oh, it's like, why?
I think even they were surprised that it went in, weren't they? The way they celebrated. I think he tried to flick it on, didn't he? And got a bit too much on it, and it ended up in the bottom corner. But do you know? I think tactically we were poor today, and I've been singing Bruno's praises all season for his tactical knowledge and his in-game management. But today he got it wrong. If you look at the Norwich back four, particularly the back two, Hanley and Gibson, they're not quick. They don't read the game very well. They're not comfortable on the ball, but they are big and strong. And so to play long balls all first half into Pedence and Dendonca and Fabio was absolute nonsense. I'm not having that at all. That was a complete waste of time because we weren't going to win anything. And the one time that Dendonca did win a flick on, there was no one within 10 yards of him to pick up the second ball.
No.
The tactics were so poor today. Second half, we were better. We got a little bit more control. We kind of pushed a bit further up the pitch. We got into the game a little bit more, but it still wasn't quite good enough. We hit the post second half, didn't we, Pedence? And there was a couple of other half chances. But if you look at that game as a whole, we didn't do enough to win the game. And that's the real disappointing thing. If we'd have absolutely battered them and their keeper had had a worldie and we'd have hit the post and the bar and off the line. Said,
yeah.
Yeah, you accept that.
You don't want to go out as a whimper, do you?
No, which is exactly what we did. You know, and it's so frustrating and disappointing. And I don't know, I haven't seen your show, obviously, but I'd imagine a lot of people are feeling the same. We've just blown an opportunity, an absolute golden opportunity to go and really have a go at the cup, because where we are in the league, we're kind of comfortably where we are, aren't we? You know, we're not going to... We might push up one or two places if we can put a run together, but we're not going to shoot up the league and we're not going to tumble down either. We're really well-placed, aren't we? We could really have had a go at the cup this year. And we've... to be fair, apart from the goalkeeper, which we'll probably come on to in a minute, that was as strong a team as we could have played today. And they just haven't performed, haven't turned up. And
what did you think of the starting lineup, though, Jack? What did you make of the starting line when you saw the team sheet and then when you saw them playing? What did you make of it?
I think the 3-5-2 works for us when we're playing at a Man City, a Liverpool, a Chelsea, those kind of teams. And we
was
can
it
kind
a 3-5-2, though? Because it looked like a 3-4-3 to me. Because it's
a waste of time playing Dendonca in the front three because he can't play there. And I think Bruno even said that in his interview after the game.
It looked as if we were playing 3-4-3.
But it's 3-5-2, isn't it? Because Dendonca's a central midfielder. He's not a forward player.
But he was always in the front, on the right-hand side of the three, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he barely touched the ball, did he?
Exactly. So I didn't get it. I was like,
why? That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why we play. If we were playing away at the Etihad or Anfield or something, I get why Dendonka plays there, because he can drop in and help the midfield, and he can also support the strikers when we're on the attack. But against Norwich, where you want to dominate the ball and you want to create lots and lots of chances, he's not the man for me. He doesn't contribute enough. He's not quick enough or strong enough on the ball to kind of carry it with any purpose or any sort of threat. And his aerial ability is okay, but the couple of times where he did win headers, he didn't really manage to direct it to anyone or get enough on it or sort of cushion it, if you like, for Fabio or for Pedence. I just don't understand the tactics today. And I'm a big fan of Bruno, and I think he's got a lot of things right this season in terms of the way he set up games and the way we've managed games. But today he got it so badly wrong.
Absolutely. And what did you make of the substitutions?
Again, there's not a lot we could have done, is there? I mean, you know, I saw Campbell getting ready to come on towards the end, and he didn't come on, did he? You know, Kundal's on the bench, who could maybe come on and do something. I liked Chiquinho. I liked his little cameo. I thought there was a couple of really nice moments. There was a really good cross he played towards the end, and just no one gambled, which must be so frustrating as a winger when you sort of beat your man and put one across and no one bothers to sort of stretch for it or dive for it and try and get on the end of it. I'd have personally bought Raul on at half-time, because I think we were crying out just to, particularly at 1-0 down, just to really sort of push on and try and force them back and try and, you know, try and get back in the game. And we sort of took nearly an hour, didn't it, really, before you started to think, you know, we're coming into this now, and you can't give yourself half an hour out of 90 minutes to play well and kind of expect to go through. It's just not going to happen.
Paul made the thing earlier on saying he's seen a bit of a trend of Wolves since the Man United game. We started slow every game.
Yeah. We had that problem under Nuno as well, didn't we? Where we famously be sort of 0-0 half time, a lot of games, and then sort of kick on second half. It works when you win, it works, and you think it's genius. But when it doesn't work, you obviously start to question it. So I think sometimes it's coloured a little bit by the result. I mean, it was a non-event the first half, really. I mean, Norwich weren't fantastic either, were they, in the first half? You know, we were flat, and they were just as flat, really, weren't they? They obviously got the goal from the set piece, which I'd like to see. I don't think it was a free kick, even. It's on the left-hand side. I'm not sure it was a free kick. The referee was really poor today, wasn't he? So, you know, but it was just frustrating. And like you say, the slow start is going to cost us, because you think about the Brentford game, until the injury, the clash of heads, we were second best. Southampton had a really good 15-20-minute period, didn't they, against us at Molineux, until we sort of stepped up, and then I think we got the penalty, didn't we, about that time, and went 1-0 up and sort of and controlled it from there. Sheffield United could have been a couple of goals up in the last round, couldn't they, early on against us, and then we got the goal to go 1-0 up and then kicked on from there. If you play against Arsenal, Tottenham, you know, West Ham, Leicester, those games we've got coming up, they'll be 2 or 3-0 up potentially before we've even got going, and you give yourself a mountain to climb. And that's the danger, isn't it? If you start slowly against those teams with those quality players, particularly in forward areas,
you're not wrong.
They'll punish you.
What did you make? I've brought this up a couple of times, but I'm interested to see your take on this. That when he took Totti Gomez off, I thought we were going to a back four, and then Dendonka drops from the front three to the back three.
I didn't get that either. I think if you're going to take Totti off, you probably, you know, play the back four, don't you?
That's what I thought we were going to do.
Yeah, which we did 10 minutes later, didn't we? So we kind of just sort of
And then he takes Dendonka off 10 minutes later. So why did he just not? It was bizarre, some of the substitutions.
It reminded me a lot of when we played Brentford at home right at the start of the season. We had that sort of second half where they had a player sent off and then Bruno just emptied the bench, didn't he? We were playing like 1-1-8 by the end, weren't we? Everyone was pushed up front. You had Cody sitting deep and someone else, and then everyone else was just attacking their box. It was a little bit like we kind of lost structure a little bit in the second half. We were kind of like, we changed the formation to try and get back into the game, which I understand and I get, but you can't go too far away from what you're about, if that makes sense. You've got to, yes, you can change the formation and the personnel, but you've got to have that, still got to have that structure, and that way that you want to play has got to be there. Because if it's not there, then you're going to lose your shape, you're going to lose your cohesion, you're going to lose your rhythm. And we did struggle for rhythm, didn't we? Because whenever we sort of had an attack, there was a little bit took out the game, and we didn't really put them under any pressure. We had isolated opportunities and little bits here and there where we had a bit of pressure, but we didn't really sustain it for the second half, did we? And I think the substitutions and the tactical shifts around kind of contributed to that in that way.
I think you're right. So what would you give it as a performance rating out of 10?
3.
Whoa!
It was awful. You can't dress it up. Listen, we'll come on here when we win and say how great we were and this, that, and the other. So when we're as bad as that, we've got to be honest and we've got to say how poor we were. I thought we were really, really poor today.
What would you give if you're giving this a 3?
Yeah.
What are you giving the first half? Because you've got to be giving the second half at least a 5. I would have thought.
Yeah. So what we're saying, 1 or 2 out of 10.
Whoa.
Honestly, that first half.
We've had a few fives tonight, but a 3. I thought you might get 4, but a 3. That's a low mark.
Listen, I don't mind being the Craig Revelord and knocking the scores
I'm
down.
I'm loving it, mate. I'm loving it.
Honestly, it was dreadful. Dreadful.
3. So that's a 3. And use your man of the match nomination.
The standout for me was Semedo. I thought he had a really good game. In amongst all the underperformers and people not quite at it, I thought Semedo was pretty good today.
So there you go, guys.
Defensively and going forward.
So you've got your final chance to get your votes in, and then I'm going to get the... you've got another 3 minutes, and I'm going to get the overall vote from the producer. Semedo, Totti Gomez, Kilman, or 8, Norrie. Now's your time to vote. If you haven't liked the video, do so now as well whilst you've got the opportunity. Jack, let's have a quick look ahead to Arsenal. I'm guessing you'll be there for that. Tottenham, you'll absolutely probably be there for that as well, won't you? What are your thoughts absolutely ahead of these two games coming up?
I think it's now pivotal, isn't it, this little run of fixtures we've got, because it'll tell us exactly where we are. You know, we've won a lot of games against teams below us this season, and we've lost quite a few against the teams above. Not always deserved, obviously, but we're now in a period where we're playing teams that we want to be finishing in and around. So we've got to really try and get points off these teams, haven't we? Particularly Arsenal, who I think we should be looking to try and finish above, aren't we? If we're being really honest, they're the kind of team we want to be trying to catch. So it's going to be an interesting... Because we've got them twice in 2 weeks, haven't we? So it's almost like playing a two-legged cup tie almost, isn't it? It's kind of going to have that feel, isn't it? Where we'll kind of be going down there in a week or so after we've played them at Molineux.
2 weeks, we've got them on Thursday, and then the 24th, which is a Thursday night. Yeah. Not an easy game to get to do for a lot of people. A midweek game Thursday in North London.
Yeah.
But those two games, you know, win both. And we should hopefully finish above them. If you lose both, it gives them. So it's key for both teams. And of course, sandwiched in between all around them, we've got Tottenham, West Ham, and I think Leicester, isn't it?
Leicester as well. Yeah. I mean, it's a really tricky run, isn't it? When you look at it on paper, it's going to test the squad. It's going to test Bruno as a tactician, it's going to test his bravery as a manager, because there'll be difficult points in all those games, I'd imagine, and there'll be opportunities for him to affect the game positively, whether he can do that, whether he can, you know, change things from the bench. Obviously, his interview after the game, he was sort of saying he's only got one winger and things like that. And so he's obviously still not satisfied with the balance of the squad. So it's going to be a tricky period, I think. We're going to have to, if we come out of it relatively unscathed, I think it sets us up quite nicely. Because I think March and April, in terms of the fixtures, are quite favourable. And so we've got to try and almost sort of power through February, haven't we? And, you know,
Neto, Wang, Johnny Otto, Bolly, Yerson, they will all be that. I mean, I think Neto's still about a month away.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries we've had this season have been poor, haven't they, in terms of key players in key positions. And it was a similar last year, wasn't it? We never really at any point had our strongest 11 on the pitch, did we? Because we lost Rel for the majority of last season. And then, obviously, Neto missed the end of last season. Johnny missed massive chunks of the season. Bolly was sort of in and out of the team. And again, this year, you know, Rel's sort of been in and out, hasn't he? Not quite at his best. We've obviously lost Neto for the majority, in fact, all of it so far, sorry. Johnny the same. It must be difficult, because you'd imagine that Bruno will have an 11 in his head that he thinks is his strongest team. And he's probably not been able to play that at all this season because of injuries, COVID, this, that and the other. So, like I say, once we get through February, if we're unscathed and, you know, we're not in damage limitation mode by any means, I think we can be positive and we can be brave and go and get results. But if we can get through February to March and April, you know, when the spring comes in and you know, all that kind of thing, and players come back, and we can sort of really, because, you know, going out of the cup is really disappointing. And I think everyone's really frustrated and disappointed. But the one thing it does is that from now, we've only got Premier League games. We've only got Premier League games. So we know exactly what we've got to do. And, you know, you can almost turn that into a positive, can't you? Because there will be teams that have cup games and get, you know, fixture congestion and stuff. We shouldn't really have that too much, because obviously we've got the Arsenal game rescheduled now. There's only the Watford one to fit in. So, you know, we have got, you know, a relatively clear run, haven't we, from now till the end of May. So, you know, that's something to be positive about in terms of, you know, controlling our future. We have got kind of very much a clear path ahead.
Well, absolutely, mate. And I've well spoken as well. I'm so glad that you got on. We do have, the producer has sent me the results of the people's vote. And it says Semedo was winning, but Gomez has made a late comeback.
Okay.
And the people's vote has gone to Totti Gomez. So that's who it's gone with.
I thought he was good, to be fair. I mean, I don't disagree with that, actually. And I think, again, he's sort of come out of nowhere, hasn't he? He's 500,000 we paid for him two years ago, about 18 months ago. I think he's done really well. And again, I think he was unlucky to come off today, wasn't he? I don't think he was no worse than Cody or Kilman, was he, in terms of you're going to bring someone off. So
yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it was a bit strange. It was funny, I think. Well, I've just got to get our system. We've got a game again on Thursday night. If we turn up on Thursday night, we beat Arsenal and we play well, we'll all be feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
So I just to say thank you to you two for getting on to finish us off. We've just gone past the hour and a half mark.
There we go.
Thanks to everyone that's been in the chat today, contributing. It's always a pleasure that you join us live to contribute. Thanks to all of the pundits that have come on again. And of course, if you're watching this back on catch up, please just smash a like on the video. If you're new on YouTube, please subscribe. But if you're listening back on the podcast as well, I hope you've enjoyed this one. We will be back again next weekend. It's probably unlikely that there'll be an extra time after Arsenal, because we've got a quick game. It'll probably be looking back at both games on the Monday night after the Tottenham match, to look back at these two fixtures. I'm sure Jack, you'll be in on that one. We'll be talking about these two fixtures in one way or the other. We'll either be like really positive, or Europe's looking unlikely, or we'll be, it's still on. But we'll wait and see.
Also, quickly, next Saturday the under-18s are at home at Molineux against Tottenham in the Youth Cup. Be good to see some people getting there and supporting them.
Absolutely. And what is it like, is that like a knockout or is it like a league?
Yeah, it's straight knockout. Yeah, they're doing really well. They're in, I think it's the fifth round. I think the next one's the quarter final as well. So they're pushing on towards the latter stages. So, you know, it'd be good for one Wolves team to have a decent cup run, wouldn't it? So,
Wolves haven't won the FA Youth Cup in the past, haven't they?
1950, something like that. It's a while ago. Yeah,
been a long time since we've had a big run in that. So
yeah,
maybe we can get behind the under-18s and they can
win
something for us. That'd be nice. So yeah, and that's next Saturday at Molineux.
Yeah,
fantastic. Right, cheers, Jack. Thanks to everyone who's contributed. And until the next one, from myself and everyone else, always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary,
not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.